Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yo! Coming live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. We roll on here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Monday, Championship Monday, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Masters Week down at Augusta, Georgia. Both CBS properties and both amazing events. And obviously, Tiki's got a scarf. He's got his Cavs gear. Expect nothing less. Tiki's been back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. A little easier when you get to fly first class, as I believe you did, right, buddy? Is that what they set up for you?
You know, Turner took care of me coming back. But you know, I had to go home for my birthday, my wife, see my kids, and see the finale of Kinky Boots. 6-year run finally came to an end for one of the most meaningful professional endeavors I've ever done in my life. BT, you came and saw the show.
Oh, yeah.
The message is powerful. Yep. I got to play the antagonist, so therefore the thesis of the show, because I changed my mind at the end. Mm-hmm. And that cast and crew were amazing. The producers and the directors and everyone did a phenomenal job over the last 6 years. And we sent it off with a bang. The energy last night. I always talk about this, BT. I think I had this conversation with you when you were there on stage, backstage afterwards. Mm-hmm. Like, we looked at it as a tidal wave, right? So we're pushing out all this love, right, about acceptance and inclusion and just be who you are, and the world needs to accept. And then eventually the audience starts to feel it, and that tidal wave comes back. Last night it was ridiculous. It was amazing. I'm glad me and Tracy got a chance to go see one last time. Singing Just Be.
Oh, yeah.
As the curtain rose and people stood in applause for a long time.
I'm happy we made it because, you know, as you said, we went and there was just, you know, you get consumed with life. It's easy to say, well, we'll go next week. And, we'll go in a couple weeks. And before you know it, you're like, the curtain's going to go up for good or down for good, depending upon how you look at it. And we made it out. It was awesome. So I'm glad they had a good time. Was the after party? I mean,
It was at Gotham Hall. It was crazy. You know, Gotham Hall used to be a bank down on 34th.
34th.
Yeah, 34th, something like that. So we went to Gotham Hall. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Firestein was there. Cyndi Lauper was there.
Did she sing?
No, she didn't. She was just kind of hanging out. Darryl Ross, who was the top producer, who was a really philanthropic with the theater. She was there as well as all the cast from all over the course of the history of the show. Billy Porter, who was the original cast, original Lola, and won the Tonys. He won 3 Tonys for Best Screenplay and obviously Best Actor, or Best Performance and Best Actor. Were there, so it was awesome to catch up with everybody and, you know, just celebrate one last time.
I love it, and I'm sure as you worked your rounds around the room here, I'm sure invariably at some point, because I met some of the guys and gals in the show, they're big sports fans, so I'm sure that they probably lamented, first they congratulated you for Virginia for still surviving, and they probably lamented the absence of one Zion Williamson.
That's exactly right.
As we get to Zion right here, let me just read you the first paragraph, and then we can split this a million ways. Duke says, quote, it is looking into the claims that Nike paid Zion's mother for bogus consulting services to an entity called Sharonda Sampson Consulting. A legal source checked with the South Carolina Secretary of State's office and was told there is not now, nor has there ever been, a registered business entity in the state called Sharonda Sampson Consulting or anything remotely similar. So, somebody's lying here. Somebody is doing something a little under the table. And I guess the first question I have, and when you have conversations like this, sometimes you could frame it a few different ways. I always like to frame it, to be fair to all people involved. Certainly you preface, you don't know exactly what happened. That goes without saying.
Yeah.
But I think the more interesting conversation for what you and I do, because we're not lawyers, we're not legal experts here. So I'm going to phrase it this way. I'm going to ask you, if this happened, how culpable should Coach K be? Because we always talk about the head coach being the CEO with Rick Pitino. Rick was in studio. We crushed Rick for not knowing that there was basically a pseudo strip joint on campus half a mile from his office. How much would we blame Coach K?
I got to tell you, BT, it's easy to have plausible deniability here. Because let's set this up, and the Adidas issue with James Gatto informs us a little bit. So James Gatto, who started this FBI investigation and got all Christian Dawkins and all these other programs involved, basically what his job was to lure the top athletes, the top talent, to the schools that Adidas had contracts with, right? So necessarily the coaches don't necessarily, because the coach doesn't matter. The idea to get, and I'll use Zion Williamson and Nike as an example here, the idea to get Zion to go to Duke, as much as it is about getting him to Duke for Coach K's success, it's also getting them to Duke because Duke wears Nike. Mm-hmm. And if Zion wears Nikes, you know, as long as they don't blow out on them like they did against North Carolina in that first matchup, a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. If Zion loves Nike, he loves the relationship that's hanging around his university now, then he's more likely, when he ones and dones it and goes to the NBA, to sign a Nike deal, right? So there is deniability on a coach's part. You can see how the coach could get left out of that, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Not be, in the fulcrum. Mm-hmm. Now, with that being said, I think it would be asinine to believe that a coach doesn't know that this is going on in some way or another, even if it's just in passing. He's had to have heard of it. So if this is true, then of course a coach is culpable. It's just a matter of what you can prove he's culpable of or not.
Okay. Assuming that it is somewhat difficult based on your plausible deniability reference, which I believe is accurate. So it's fully impossible to connect all the dots, because I don't think there's been any sort of I don't believe Coach K will ever get any sort of, audio or transcript or text message, any sort of correspondence, Coach K, whatever, do whatever it takes, get it done.
Funnel, like we heard with Will Wade.
With Will, funnel the money. No, Coach, that's not happening.
No.
But if common sense, now you can't necessarily punish somebody for a lack of common sense, but if we lean on common sense, knowing how this game goes, Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, et cetera, should it be more than just the reputation of Coach K that takes a bit of a hit?
Well, we got to back up and look at the source here. Michael Avenatti, who is under federal indictment for extortion and conspiracy charges.
$22.5 million.
This is under multiple states with multiple individuals, so it trumps up to conspiracy. Maybe he's overcharged, but who knows? Who cares?
Yeah.
Likely because of his relationship representing Gary Franklin Jr., who was that AAU coach who was no longer under the employ of Nike and sued. He comes back and says, "Well, we have all these tapes. We're gonna put them out there. We're gonna release all this information." And yes, there was some information about guys being paid, Bol Bol being one that we talked about earlier on in the season. But the issue is the trustworthiness of Michael Avenatti. Now, I know Avenatti. I know he is a lawyer. I know he kind of can, say, "Well, I have loyal attorney-client privilege here, and I can, I heard these things." He has no physical evidence about Zion Williamson, right? He says, "Go check this payment portal that Nike uses," and there's no evidence of it. Uh-huh. And so it almost feels like he's just throwing at the wall and seeing what sticks. And I think that's the argument from Zion Williamson and Duke's standpoint. This guy is a shyster who's trying to get paid or by Nike for a client and for himself. And so there's no credibility. And I got to be honest, if they took this to a court and this was adjudicated, I think that would win. I wouldn't believe it. I wouldn't believe him because of all the things that he's continually thrown out. Doesn't mean it's not true, but can I prove it? And he can't. So it's hard, right? It's like we know to some extent this is probably true, right? But what can you prove? At the end of the day, that's all that matters. In our country, what can you prove? Mm-hmm. And a lot of it you can't with Zion Williamson. And even if you could, would we care? Right? Would we get up in arms about it? In the long run, I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Here's my answer. For some people, maybe.
For others, probably like, okay, whatever.
Here's my answer. And maybe this is really unfair of me to hold Duke to a higher standard. All right?
Yes.
But, you know, think about as we so easily and profusely, you know, just throw platitudes over the course of Coach K's career. Mm-hmm. And he's earned them. I mean, he's good kid for the most part. Good kids, emphasis on school, a lot of wins, comports himself like a gentleman, gracious in defeat, does the adaptability in terms of going from the team concept to one and done's, from a X's and O's, even though Wizzo schooled him, from an X's and O's point of view, he's on point. All the great things about him. A lot of the, or some of that ammunition is driven by the fact that we believe that Coach K is one of the few clean people in the business.
True.
So, to answer your question directly, would I be surprised? No. I would actually be stunned if Zion Williamson went to Duke only for five pairs of Nike sneakers and three Nike sweatsuits, and they travel on charter planes to go play Virginia Tech. Of course he got something. He got something from somebody.
And look, I think what people have started to realize, you know, in the 80s and the 90s, maybe you'd be up in arms about the cheating to acquire talent that goes on in college basketball. But I think it discounts the idea that maybe these coaches see the plight that families of some of these athletes are in. They come from lower socioeconomic backgrounds, some of them, not all of them, some of them, right? And yes, you're offering their son, who they can kind of see as their way out, their bell cow financially for the rest of their careers, but he's got to go to school, right? He's got to maintain his academics, we're going to take care of him. We're going to feed him three meals a day, hell, five if he needs to.
He's got the training table.
He's got the best health care. He's got everything.
Yep.
But there's mom and dad and brother and sister and everybody else are still back at home, right? And so there's a sense, I believe, that coaches – they're not heartless, right? They're not just like, I'm going to get this kid because I want to win a championship and I don't care about anything else. You know, forget the mom and dad. I think they say, look, if we can help this kid and help his family, you know what? Let's hire the dad. Or if we can't, you know, we'll give him, you know, $50,000 or $100,000, which to them is sometimes a year plus salary. You know what I mean? So I think we've got to the point where we don't vilify it as much as we used to because we realize that while it is NCAA illegal, there is an altruism to it that is compelling. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's a smart way to put it. The one thing that I would challenge, and the word heartless is a good one. I'm happy you used that choice. Like, you know, I believe that you're right in totality, that even, you know, the biggest recruiting shark has a heart, all right?
Yeah.
Look at Bruce Pearl. I mean, look at some of the things he's been embroiled in.
He's absolutely right. Perfect example.
He's crying. He's talking to Tracy Wolfson like a gentleman when he could have been, I can't talk. I mean, he's just – that guy's got a heart and a soul, even if it's been gone sideways on occasion recruiting-wise. But I do think it starts somewhat on an impersonal level – because I believe it's driven by selfishness to start from the coach's point of view.
Yeah.
And then once they get the kid on campus and they get to really know the kid, then I believe it blends, they connect on a much deeper level. But let's not be naive here, T. The driving force for head coaches is for them to get paid. They don't it's not like they're not waking up saying, let me change the world and let me bring some money to the projects. They want to win, because if they don't win, they're going to get fired.
True, but let's not also say that those two are mutually exclusive, which sometimes I think people like to think they are.
Yeah, you know, that's true too. I mean, that's a good volley back. And I think that we always want to we want to identify this in such a clear and concise manner, but there's no way to do
it. There's so much gray,
dude. You can't do it.
There's so much gray.
You can't do it, because half the people, if I was a coach, I'd be doing it.
Yeah.
I'd be doing it too. Because if you don't, you're going to go 8-12 for the conference, and then you get fired 3 years into your contract.
That's right.
And the guy that you're coaching against, who went 14-4 or 16-4 if you're playing 20 games, you're looking at him saying, all right, he's got 7 or 8 more conference wins than I do, but I know what he's doing. He's a busted cheater on the recruiting team.
Right.
So
he's
if
got,
I don't
he's
do
got
that,
two 5-stars and 1 3-star.
Exactly.
And, you know, and I got 3 5-2-stars. You know what I mean?
Correct. And I could play the old-fashioned way, and I can pull up quotes from John Wooden and Bobby Knight and Adolph Rupp, and I could teach the great principles, and we could share the ball, and we could set, you know, great screens of integrity and box out and play with purpose. And if you don't get guys who can take it, who are going to go to the NBA, you're not going to win. And the way you get guys, and everybody needs to hear this, the way you get guys who are going to the NBA is you circumvent the rules, if not overtly cheating and ignoring them. There's just no other way to frame it. You got to cheat to win. You have to. Except, and I'm not just saying this because he's my partner, ironically, maybe my partner's cool. Yeah. I honestly think that you're doing it the right way. Think if they said, if it comes out tomorrow or the week after, whether they win or lose tonight, Bennett's been cheat, I would be floored. That is the only name in college basketball that would stun me.
I'd
that
be
would stun
disappointed, but I'd ask, why are you cheating to get three-star kids? Because you don't have to.
Now, let me ask you this, though. I know how much pride you have in your university. If you win, if you win tonight, and let's say theoretically they did cheat to get here, would you really care?
Of course I would. Okay. I would be grossly disappointed, BT. Okay. You know I talk about this all the time. I had to write an honor code on every assignment, not test or something that was graded, anything that I did. On my honor as a student, I've neither given nor received aid on this assignment, test, etc.
Yep.
It would go counter to the principles of every person who's ever stepped foot on that ground. Now, look, do people cheat? Of course they do, right? But there is a principle that's instilled in us from day one. Actually, pre-day one. It's negative day one because you get it as soon as you get your honor code instructions. And you go there for that reason because you know you're entering grounds that are hallowed. And even though Thomas Jefferson has his sordid history, there's a certain expectation that comes from being a student at the University of Virginia. So if we had a coach that didn't espouse that, he wouldn't be our coach for long. I promise you that.
I agree with you, and I believe you. I mean, I totally believe you. I could say this with great conviction that Tiki would rather be 14-6 or 16-14 and go to the NIT and maybe lose to Lipscomb, who played in the championship game against Texas that you and I were watching at the bar, or versus going to the Final Four and giving out payments and giving out cars and creating jobs. I know you, but you are the 1% of the sporting population that thinks that way.
I know it.
Good for you. That's awesome. There's Rondé. He's probably
that's
the
all right. That's okay. You will work for us one day.
Oh, God, stop. Let's not get corny. Now I can't let you get too big for your britches. D-Cell, come and fix my mic. It broke. I don't know what the heck happened here. I've been holding up for the last minute. Let's get a break. Coming up, this will be a fun conversation because Paul Pierce went a little deep. A little bit. The truth? Or the flesh. That's next here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way to save a little money. Just switch over to Geico. Geico.com. Go there in 15 minutes, save 15%. Or more on car insurance. So they were able to fix my mic. A little surgery performed. I'm good to go there, Tiki.
That's because you're a maniac with your mic.
I can't help it. I've been like that since day one of my career. I can't help it. I move a lot.
It hasn't broken.
I know.
It hasn't broken a lot lately.
No.
But it does often. Usually. Used to.
Hey, every stop I've been, I break things. Not by design. I'm just into the conversation. I'm a mover. I tend to, you know, it's probably audible on the air as well. Every time I shift the microphone, there's a little squeakage. I can't just sit and have... I don't know. Like, somebody challenged me once, and this would probably be funny. This would probably be funny, and we could probably have TV have some fun with this and build, like, a little clock or a scoreboard. One of my buddies said, I don't think that you could do a radio. If you tied your hands together, and I was not able to use my hands as any sort of, you know, movement. Like, I don't know. I usually match my hands with the syllables. It's this whole weird thing. It's a New York. I don't know why I do it, but I do.
It's an Italian thing. It's
half Italian. Half exactly.
It's a half Italian.
If you tied my hands together, I would feel so inadequate speaking that I'm actually kind of curious if maybe on a slow day we'll do that because I'm not so sure I could do it.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if I could do it.
You'd be like Houdini and escape in like 6 minutes. Otherwise, the segment would go off the rails.
Exactly, exactly. Right, let's get to this. This was a segment that certainly didn't go off the rails. It got a lot of people jump back to it. That was the comments made by Paul Pierce on Countdown on ESPN ABC. And I know Michelle Beadle was on there. Pierce was there. Who was Chauncey up there? Somebody else was. It was Chauncey, right? Chauncey was up there with him. And you know, Paul Pierce made what appears on the surface, when literally interpreting his words, a very bold and by some thought to be a reckless claim that in essence he had a better career than Dwayne Wade. Now, let me just give you my piece on this. I saw it live, and I've heard it dissected a million ways, and I think a lot of people are missing him. I think they're being unfair to Paul Pierce. I think the easy, lazy way to respond to this is say that Paul Pierce is dead wrong, that Dwayne Wade was the superior player, which, by the way, based on the accomplishments and not just scoring, but, you know, first team, second team, all defense, all the things we measure, the benchmarks we measure players by, Dwayne Wade's got more championships. Dwayne Wade's got them everywhere, just about, right?
Yep.
But I think what Paul Pierce was saying, and it's a smart take, and this is where I think I could at least have the conversation to possibly agree with Paul Pierce. When you bring in the fact of Shaq, like as Dwayne Wade had Shaq, and when Dwayne Wade had LeBron and Chris Bosh, Paul Pierce for a good, and Antoine Walker's name came up during the segment, and he had a couple of good years, but other than that, they didn't have anything with Boston before they got KG, Ray Allen, and Rondo, and that crew that won the championship. Paul Pierce played on horribly inferior Celtics teams because Danny Ainge was not doing a good job until really Kevin McHale gifted him the big ticket. So I don't think that Paul Pierce conceptually is that off base.
Well, I mean, so there's many ways that people have broken this down. Some people say this is just Paul Pierce trying to get the recognition that is eluding him, right? Because of he was a great player and, you know, an iconic one in a sense. And when he was at his prime and even for a couple of years after he retired, right, you're like, dude, Paul Pierce was the man. But now it's slipped. Like, we don't talk about Paul Pierce anymore, right? You don't mention him unless you bring up those that Celtic championship, you know, teams. And so it's like one of those years. And so one of those one of the narratives is he's just self-promoting himself, which in a sense he probably is. But let me ask you this though, BT: if someone asks you like directly, how do you compare your career to whoever?
You're talking about course, like really?
Yeah,
me?
anyone. Or,
but like, I don't think you could say anybody. You'd have to give me a real example.
Okay, so but I don't know. I can't put it in context.
How do I position my career against Mike Francesa?
No. I'm talking about.
Even though I actually think I'm better on the air than Mike.
I'm talking about your sports career. So think about someone who was commiserate to you in high school, right?
Okay.
Yeah, you know, and say they went to Stanford.
Okay.
They got a scholarship to go play at Stanford. You ended up in Marist, and you had your career. Obviously, you got hurt. But if in high school you had said, well, compare your career to that kid, you would obviously say, because everything the level is the same, right? Mm-hmm. You would say, of course I had a better career. It's just a confidence thing. It's an ego thing that only great players, they live that way, right? And so it's hard for me to fault Paul Pierce for picking himself over anyone who was a contemporary or a peer. For instance, if you ask me, Tiki, how do you compare your career to Sean Alexander? Now, Sean Alexander beat me in the rushing title every single year, right, and won intentionally. He wasn't going to play the last game, and he played just because he knew I beat him in my last game.
Uh-huh.
But if someone said, how do you think Sean Alexander has a rushing title? He did this. He went and played in the Super Bowl just like you did. A lot of people say he had a better career than you did. What do you think? Like, no, of course I had a better career, right? And so it's an ego thing that comes from having done it. It's hard to fault them. People are crushing him on social media.
Yeah, they are. They're
like
hitting them
crushing
hard.
Him. I'm well, like,
but you know why?
Chill out. What do you expect them to say?
Because they're lazy. But again, the example that you flipped to me, with all due respect, isn't the example. I would use my radio career much more than baseball because radio is what I do.
Yeah, but radio's hard for people from outside right, to ascertain, right? Because certain styles are different. Like our show is vastly different from our colleague and preceding us, Jim Rome. Like, you can't compare our shows. They're just different.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
A
different delivery. Yeah, sure. Different. No
different
doubt.
Different. His callers are different than ours. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And so it's how could you compare them? But sports, right, the X's and the O's and the successes and the losses, they're universal, right? You can easily compare them over ages or you know, whatever it may be. Radio's a little bit different. Like, it's an art more than it is, a sport.
And art, obviously, is far more subjective than athletic prowess. I certainly get that. There's no doubt about it. That's funny, though, because I remember, you know, when even when you get away from the sport and you lean on art, you do think about stuff this way. Like, I remember when I was with ESPN, quite frankly, doing radio locally for almost 9 years. And, you know, they've since, they've got an FM stick and they're doing well and all that. But we were on AM. We had, you know, going up against WFAN, which is a company we all, we both, you know, we, they're right down the hole. They're the pioneers of what we do for, I mean, they're great. And FAN's set the template, right?
Right.
And, but FAN was a heritage station. And I remember, this distinctly, like having this inner frustration, kind of like Paul Pierce, never having had the chance to play with Shaquille, like Shaq or some of these other guys. I would, like people would say, man, how come, you know, how come you don't get the ratings that like Francesa gets? And I'm like, number one, nobody can hear us because we're on a hanger that you got from somebody's closet. They had a 35-year head start. We used to be – I mean, so when you do things for a living and you don't feel as if you've been – because it's not personal merit. Because what I said before, like – well, again, with all due respect, whatever, I have no relationship with him. But, like, Francesa is truly the king. But – and I'm not just saying this. If you put me on the radio and I go head-to-head with Mike and he doesn't have the reputation, I believe I would destroy Mike. Because I believe I'm far more interesting and far more energetic and better and certainly more diverse in terms of topics.
And you know what, BT?
But you need the Shaq to actually get the carrot at the end, which is what a guy – and, again, credit. He held it for 30 years.
Yeah.
You need the signal. You need the heritage station. You need the Shaq. You need the LeBron. Yeah. You need the Bosh. I get what Paul Pierce is saying.
Agree. BT.
I love it, actually.
I wouldn't expect you to say anything else. So that is the perfect example then.
That's why I went back to it.
Leave Paul Pierce alone, Twitterverse.
Leave Paul Pierce alone.
He believes he was the best.
Yeah.
And if he had the tools like Dwayne Wade did,
yep.
if Paul Pierce was on the Miami Heat and Riley was getting him all the same talent,
mm-hmm.
As we just mentioned, Danny Ainge just hadn't figured it out yet.
Yeah.
He was working his way through it. Now he's kind of figured out how to do it. But back then, he hadn't done it until he did when they won the championship.
Of course.
Right? Paul Pierce might be an icon with 5 championships. Well, you know what I mean?
Of course I know what you mean. I agree with you. Even more directly, flip it and put Dwayne Wade with Antoine Walker.
Yeah,
I mean, really, and then put Paul Pierce with whether it's a LeBron combination of Bosh, whomever, you know. And again, you get dealt cards, you do the best that you can. Sometimes context is lost. I don't think anybody who knows the game of basketball views Paul Pierce anything through a prism of complete respect. This is a guy who was stabbed 9 times at a club. I believe it was his rookie year, very early. Came back and played. That guy is a warrior. He's a dagger waiting to happen, last-second situation. Never afraid to take a shot. Paul Pierce was unbelievable. He's a basketball Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Individually, Dwayne Wade, more accomplished. I mean, it's really how you want to view it. But I love when guys say stuff like that.
Me too.
Interesting content for you and I.
Yep.
But it's a look into their soul, which you got to respect.
I agree, 100%.
All right, Teague, we get back. We finish up with the game tonight. Scale of 1 to 10. How nervous are you, real quick?
10.
Okay. Okay.
Very.
But does that mean that does that
but it's
offset?
It's an awesome level of nervousness.
Are you not 10 on the confident meter either? Can you be both?
Both. I am both.
All right. We're going to put both. Tiki on the couch and talk about this game the rest of the way after Axe Update, which is right now. Here's Rich.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, we got a lot to squeeze in and not a whole lot of time to do it, so let's knock out our Ask the Pros question of the day. Let's answer it for you, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, and this one coming in from Paul in Orlando, Florida. Hey, guys, will it be the first to 50 points to win tonight? Go ahead, Teak.
I don't think so, actually, BT. I think this game could get into the I would go over. I know it's 117, but Texas Tech has a couple of scores. Mooney's a good score if he gets on. And obviously Virginia, if Kyle Guy or Ty Jerome get hot, forget it. And that's not to mention DeAndre Hunter hasn't really had a huge game yet. If he should have a good game, we could see some high scoring.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day on this Monday. Across the country, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Hey, tonight at 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific, join CBS Sports Network right here out in Minneapolis to break down the championship game before tip as College Hoops experts bring you up to the minute reaction and analysis. Don't miss NCAA March Madness 360. They do a great job on the show. They put a lot of work into it, and it shows. Presented by Infinity on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Of course, your home for Tiki and Tierney, Rome, Boomer and Geo, Time to Shine, Tops on Sundays, all sorts of studio shows, bull riding. We got it all here. A little college baseball. We got it all. You know, by the way, I listen, guys, and most times, and if you're a fan of the show for a long time, you know, most times I'll make you money if I give you predictions in terms of, you know, focusing on a specific bet. I don't do it every day. If there's something I like, or, of course, when it's a big game, I'll give you my thoughts. I don't know what the hell to tell you with this over-under tonight. I don't know. I mean, I got burned in the first game on Saturday. Got burned in the second game. They were the same. One was 132. One was 132 and a half. I'm sitting here saying, all right, I know that there's a low-scoring, you know, flow to all of these teams here, but I just thought the number would tilt over. Really not even close either way. And tonight they lower it by almost 17 points, and I don't know what to tell you. I would think if I had to place a wager, I would just go over based on how low 117 really is. But, Teak, I was talking to D-Cell about this during the break. You know, as much as some people are lamenting the low scoring style we had over the weekend and anticipating for tonight, you know, don't forget, back, and I was at this game. This was in Houston, 53-41 when Jim Calhoun won his championship.
That's right.
Against Brad Stevens' Butler Bulldogs. There's been a lot more low-scoring games the last 12, 15 years, I think, than people remember.
Yeah, because think about the nerves. You know what I mean? We're still talking about, like, 18, 19, 20, sometimes 21-year-old kids, right? They're young. They've likely, especially in this case, never been on this stage. I mean, you give Virginia some credit because there's vets on this squad that have been around the NCAA tournament and had a historic loss last year.
Mm-hmm.
And Texas Tech also was in the Elite Eight last year, so there's experience here. But still, neither one of them had been to the Final Four had won in the Final Four and been to the championship. Texas Tech had never even been to the Final Four, and so you can't like say, oh, yeah, they'll be their natural selves that they've been all season long when it comes to shooting or whatever it may be. Nerves kick in, man, when you realize a championship is on the line.
Yeah, and like I said, I was at the game at Reliant Stadium. That would have been 2011. That was the second year that Butler went back-to-back there with Brad Stevens. And unlike, even though I had the over and I was lamenting the misses, as my text messages to my partner could certainly attest, come on, go in the bucket, will you? Somebody get fouled. Somebody hit some threes. Somebody go on a run.
There were just no fouls. You're right.
No, there's no fouls. But I didn't think, because it's small amounts, just to sweat a little bit. Obviously, I'm more into the game and the storylines than a stupid small bet. But I remember being at Reliant Stadium, like literally with my hand on my forehead saying, this is torture.
Yeah.
Just watching this. I didn't think that once over the weekend, because as we started the show with, you know, it's one thing when teams don't make shots. It's another thing, when teams don't make shots based directly on the brilliant defensive efforts and strategies and talents of both teams. And over the weekend, it was more of that, not the inability to make shots. It's just that the defensive players are great.
Yeah, you're right. And just to stay on the betting just for one second before we get into the details of this game, BT, as we get ready to wrap it up here. Did you see this one bet? This guy made a $1,500 bet.
Is this the Texas Tech one?
Yeah.
I didn't read it, but we go ahead. Tell everybody. So I saw the headline.
So a bettor had a opportunity, or just whatever. He I don't know why he played the odds this way.
Okay.
But back in over this past winter in November, Texas Tech was 200-1.
Was this before the season started, or?
I think it was. It probably had been a week or so. Couple games in.
Okay.
200-1.
All right.
Texas Tech was to win the championship. He put down $1,500. So if Texas Tech wins tonight, he's going to obviously get back the money of the ticket. He's going to win over $300,000 on a $1,500 bet.
All right, $1,500 on a $200. So that's a future bet. You're doing a future bet on that.
Yep.
This guy's either really good at what he does or really wealthy, and we don't know about the losses. Because think about this. We all knew that Kansas was down. Now, we didn't know that they would have some in-season defections for various reasons, as they did.
Yep. Yep. But injuries, et cetera.
Exactly. But we thought it was a possibility that Kansas could take a big step back.
Yep.
And if you know that and you've got the means to actually bet and try to justify that, then you know that if Kansas is down, then you know the door is really open for the Big 12.
You're right.
Which would, in theory, give you a pretty good seeding which in theory would give you a decent push to get to the Final Four and maybe win it.
Especially if you look at last season, at Texas Tech was pretty good last year.
Yep.
They got deep into the tournament. So,
or this guy just got lucky, as I was going to finish my say. Or he got lucky, but
or he got lucky.
Know. That's a lot of money for a future on a long shot. That's listen, now he's got to wrestle with this. Although I'm guessing if he's got a lot of money, he's probably going for the kill. Do you hedge the bet a little bit?
No, he's not.
He's not going
to
hedge.
That was the story. He refused to be identified for obvious reasons.
That.
But he's not hedging it at all.
You got to respect that. Going for the gusto. Wow.
Going for the gusto.
All right.
It is what it is.
All right. Let me start. You know, you're gonna get 30 carries here in the next couple of minutes because your team's playing tonight. Let me say one thing about Tariq Owens. All right.
Yep.
I picked Virginia
long
to win
as
this.
Hell. This guy's long as hell.
Oh, God. He's such a good kid, too. I love Tariq. I picked Virginia to win it. By the way, I'm up to 36th place in our Tiki and Tierney bracket pool.
Nice.
Yeah. A few others have Virginia, so I can't finish first, but I can finish top 10-ish.
Oh, wow. Cool.
I want my partner to win a championship. I've got a lot of love for how Texas Tech plays. I'll probably know within the first couple of minutes, having seen Tariq play a lot in person, obviously. When he came back to the arena after he got hurt, the ovation was awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
I thought he may have been concussed when he first took the elbow to the head early in the game. I was worried about that. And then when he dove into press row and he took a hard knock into the seats, this kid is wiry strong, but incredibly tough. If Tariq Owens is not 100%, I don't think Texas Tech has any chance to win.
Yeah, not
if
only,
he is,
yeah.
You're going to be sweating to the final seconds of this game, buddy.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's okay because that's how Virginia plays, and that's honestly how they've won. They're not going to blow you out unless you're a bad team. Right, unless you're NC State, like Virginia beat up in the first round of the ACC tournament, or I guess their first round, which is really like the fourth round. I forget what round it was.
They had three buys at least.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah. So unless you're that a team like that, Virginia's not going to blow you out. So they're absolutely comfortable playing against teams that may be more athletic, like Auburn was, have greater shooters like Purdue did. And Virginia, you know, they know how to play in these tight games, and they're going to slow you down. They're going to give you a limited number of possessions a game. Like, you're not going to get these extra possessions because of turnovers or because of fast break points. And so you better take good shots, and they better be going down. Otherwise, you play into Virginia's hands. And when, you know, the one kid who got hot against Michigan State was Matt Mooney. 38-40% three-point shooter, and it reminded me of that Carson Edwards game. Like every shot he was taking, this is against Michigan State, was going down, especially in the second half as the game got tighter, and that's how they pulled away. That's what you worry about if you're a Cavalier. That's what I worry about. But I also worry about strength on strength. These are two very good defensive squads who are comfortable playing bad. You know what I mean? A lot of really good teams, since now Virginia gets them, and I think this is how Texas Tech also takes advantage of this, really good teams who they frustrate into taking bad shots start taking more bad shots. You know, they start
compound it.
Absolutely. They get frustrated really quickly. Neither one of these teams is going to be frustrated if they're shooting 31% in the first half. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which makes this an interesting matchup and really one hard to predict, but obviously easy for me to root for.
Of course. My wild card for Texas Tech is Tariq Owens. My wild card for you guys, and he's the best player on the court when he wants to be. And, you know, maybe we heard this with Jordan, with Dean Smith. The system didn't really allow him to just go bonkers.
Yeah.
I got to see some more assertiveness from DeAndre Hunter. I agree, BT.
I agree. Look, these last couple of games, he just has looked unconfident with his jump shot. Right around the rim, he's been fine.
Yep.
He can score there, but with his jump shot, whether it's from 3-point range or whether it's that mid range spot that he likes to find over on the wings, he's been off. Like, he's clanking the side of the basket. He's not even hitting the rim. You know what I mean? If he's on, then Texas Tech is in trouble, because with three legit scorers, how do you guard everybody? Somebody's going to come open, and Tony Bennett designs plays as good as anyone, especially coming out of timeouts. And we know, because it's a national championship game, there's those that under 16, that under 5, et cetera, that automatically come into play.
Teague, I'm going to go 64-57 Virginia. I think a few of those triples, especially the 30-foot heat check that Mooney threw in from the left side, I think a few of those missed tonight, and I do think Virginia wins. I do think it's a great game. Have a blast tonight, man.
Thank you, brother.
Enjoy yourself out there.
I hope I'm singing the good old song at about 10:30 or so, maybe a little bit later, and going wahoo-wah, wahoo-wah, Univie Virginia, hooray, hooray, hey, hey. UVA.
And if you don't, you better have that enthusiasm, or at least contrived enthusiasm, for the Red Raiders. I know I will.
I will.
Enjoy the game, guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace. Gotta go.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.